This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, welcome to this podcast. My name is Anne. I've been a volunteer here at Joy for 17 years. Please continue to support Joy. This is our 25th year and we need community support by way of donations and memberships. Support Joy now during Radiothon 2018. Head to our website, click donate now. joy.org.au.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass. It's my pleasure to welcome on the phone David Davis, former Liberal Health Minister, current Shadow Minister for Public Transport, Planning and Equality. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, Macca. Good morning, Taz.
Great to have you on the waves.
It's a pleasure.
Now, the last time I saw you, of course, was at a couple of Greek events at the Malvern Town Hall.
Indeed. A great day with the Guard. The presidential guard over from Greece and moving around the state to a lot of council areas. So that was it was a great day.
And I think the following night, David, was an event at Eaton Mall where they had a bunch of the original Evzons floating about. And, of course, one of those was my father.
That's a great story, isn't it? And yeah, there's such amazing links. It was a huge night at Eaton Mall.
Yeah, it was actually.
You're going to talk about Cyprus next? No, we better not go there. Not Cyprus or Macedonia. We're not going there. Okay.
Well, there are some challenges that we might not be able to solve.
Okay. Now
on air today.
Well, here's a challenge for you, David. Look, there's been a lot of news, and we spoke to Michael Kroger about this on air recently about what some of the media are painting as infiltration of the party, and one particular group they talked about was the Mormons. But Michael made the point, well, you know, you wouldn't say there are, you know, nine Jews that have joined, that have been elected to the administrative committee or whatever. What do you say about, you know, that in terms of, I know it's a broad church, but in terms of equality, I don't think, you know, for our community, that we have a lot in common with the Mormons. And what role does the administrative committee play in policy and in pre-selections there? It's a long question, but...
Well, the first thing I'd say is I agree with Michael to the extent that it's a very broad-based party, the Liberal Party, and other major political parties are like that too. The Labor Party has also got a huge range of different people from different backgrounds, and ours is the same. And people are welcome to join the party if they're a person who has got the general views and is prepared to contribute. Now, I say to those who think there's too many of one particular group joining, well, get more of another. And, you know, we need to be a bigger party. We need more membership from whatever background.
One of the battlegrounds.
That's my view, and you know, yep, people have got to contribute from wherever they come and whatever their views. And internally, we will have the battles or the arguments or the debates on particular topics.
Well, you know, we're not going to ask you about it, but Michael, when we asked him some time ago about the Cormac Foundation, he said, "Don't worry about it, Macca. It's just a family dispute about assets." Do you like that?
Look, we could talk at length about this. I think this is a challenging topic for the party, obviously, and there's obviously significant resources involved. And, you know, we would hope this is resolved in the end.
Yes. Look, I wanted to ask you, David, one issue that's top of agenda for our community is safe schools. And, you know, I'm as Shadow Minister for Equality, I really want to know what the policy is. Now, I know that a formal policy is going to be released quite shortly, but I really want to know what the policy, but more particularly what your position is on safe schools, what you're intending to change and why.
Well, I think there's a bit of history here. We were not unsupportive of a program like Safe Schools when we were in government. But I think what happened with that program is it was diverted into a particular set of approaches and views which were not fundamentally about anti-bullying. And that was a pity, a big pity. And the truth of the matter is that we will have significant anti-bullying programs, and Tim Smith, our education spokesperson, will bring us forward in the normal way as part of our lead up to the election, a policy around that. I'm obviously keen to see that there's a proper program that makes sure there's a very clear anti-bullying message, and that's both a general and a specific message. And I think that's a very reasonable position.
Do you think
in New South Wales, as you know, has taken this, quite a similar view, both by the Liberal state government and supported directly by the Labor opposition in New South Wales.
So just winding back a little bit, David, you're saying that the program has changed. Where's your evidence for that? And has that been driven by what, the education department or the community or parents, or where have those changes come from?
Well, I think the evidence is that a small group drove those changes and took this on an agenda which was not the same as fundamentally an anti-bullying program. And I'm not sure that was the best way to go. If your aim is to put in place an anti-bullying program, that's what you should do. If your aim is to undertake some broader social change, well, argue for that position, not an anti-bullying program. So I think this had a set of agendas which was much broader and avowedly said so by a number of the proponents.
And the evidence for that?
Well, I think those statements are out on the public record by a number of those people.
I think the education department, when James Molino put this back directly under the control of the education department, and, we could have a long discussion, David, about some of those issues, but let's work on the basis that the education department has taken it back, and I think some of those more controversial or polarising issues have much less prominence than they did. So the program as it exists now, why would you change it, or do you think it is still a bit of overreach?
Well, I think the reality is that damage was done to the objectives of the program because it did overreach. I think that's a description. And I think what is required now is to have a thorough relaunch of a program that's in a careful way designed to prevent and discourage bullying in schools. And I think that's a very important objective.
So what does that mean to a young person who is questioning their sexuality or their gender and their parents?
Well, I think the program needs to be clear in the sense that it's got to have objectives that and delivery that actually seek to achieve the support that's there for somebody who's taking those sorts of steps, but at the same time is got to be, supportive of messages which say no bullying, which say, you're to be respected as an individual, whatever your background.
But isn't that what the Safe Schools program is doing?
Is now doing?
Well, I'm not sure that is fully the case. I think Tim has said that he will bring forward an anti-bullying program, and I think that is where we've got to be. I'm not sure that everything this current government has done can be relied upon in the way they construe it.
I want to ask David, in terms of as Minister for Equality, and as we said, this policy is front and centre for us.
It's a key one. I agree.
And, you know, something else that is becoming near and dear to our heart and will be in the future is the Victorian Pride Centre. How do you see, you know, should you win government in November? Matthew's given a commitment that the funding that was in the budget will, you know, in budgets will be honoured. But how do you see, let's assume you win government, you become Minister for Equality. What are you going to advocate to support our community and in particular the Pride Centre and organisations like Joy?
Well, Joy is an incredibly important organisation, and I think one of your, if I start at the back end of your question there, Joy is an incredibly important organisation and an organisation I strongly support. You have huge community support. You're a classic third sector organisation with the strengths and connections that brings. The Pride Centre is a centre that they've got to move with. And, you know, my criticism would be we're now, you know, 3.5 years down the track from when the promises are made, and they're still going relatively slow on actually getting the outcomes there. I understand the City of Port Phillip land is there. I understand a lot of the funding is there. So, you know, I think 3.5 years in, it's time to, get a wriggle on with the creation of the Pride Centre in a physical sense. They need to move.
Yeah. And as Equality Minister, how will your support for our community, what will that mean?
I've met with, some of the board and others of the Pride Centre. And certainly we're supportive of the objectives of the Pride Centre. We see that it can make a significant contribution. And as I say, my point is that they ought to get moving with this. It's actually, you know, the money was allocated a while ago now, and the opportunity is there to actually get this done and sorted. And, I think let's actually move on it, is my point.
Okay, we have got a message from a listener. We'll centre it slightly, Tess.
Go on.
He thinks, on regard to safe schools, David, that the protection of rainbow families and trans youth, that he doesn't hear that, you know, from you. And that's one of the issues that we're passionate about in safe schools. He said you were talking BS. I'm not going to...
Well,
what do you
know? People can text in as they wish to a radio show, but the fact is that I am concerned to see that there's an anti-bullying program in position, and that it's a very solid program, that it actually achieves its objectives, and that's that is an important outcome. Now, I don't think anyone supports the wrongful treatment of people on the basis of their characteristics.
Okay.
I think the challenge, though, from some of the comments that we've had this morning coming in via text and email from our listeners, is that we're not clear exactly what it is that you're not happy about. And, you know, one of our listeners here says, so what's wrong with an approach that says... that LGBTIQ identities are normal?
Look, the point is that people ought to be treated and ought to be respected on the basis of themselves as individuals. And there is obviously a point through childhood and adolescence where people are grappling with, you know, and this is true across a very broad front, grappling with their growth and development and their sexuality, and that is something that's got to be supported with a proper program that says you can't wrongfully treat somebody in that context.
Okay. One final question. One thing we've been and thank you again for coming on. We really appreciate it. You are welcome anytime, David. But a final question, if I may.
I appreciate that.
There's been a lot of discussion, including from the Federal Attorney General, Christian Porter, and from the Prime Minister about the national apology following the Royal Commission on Child Sexual Abuse. One of the subjects that's really hot at the moment. And
well, can I just say thing on can I just interrupt there and say one thing? It was the Liberal government in Victoria that kicked this process off, the Baillieu government, of which I was a member, with the parliamentary inquiry that my colleague Georgie Crozier chaired. The Victorian parliamentary inquiry led the process nationally, and the Royal Commission came after the state in Victoria had led the way. And I sort of think it's very important to pay tribute to the work that Georgie did, Ted as Premier did, to actually take a, you know, courageous set of decisions to actually push forward into what was, at that time, you know, sort of unknown territory.
Now, look, I acknowledge that, and I was actually going to mention that, that you guys started that off just as you started off...
Safe schools.
Safe schools, but also gay law reform in Victoria under the Hamer government. The question... David,
yes, I'll tell you one thing I'm always very proud of. I came into Parliament in 1996, took over from Haddon Storey, who'd been Attorney General, Liberal Attorney General in Victoria at the time when the decriminalisation happened. And I was very proud to have carriage of the expungement bill in the upper house, the removal of historical convictions. As his successor, and to I think, right the wrong or take a significant step to righting the wrong in a sort of important, I think, leadership role that the that was the Napthine government undertook.
Acknowledge that. My question, David, is the Prime Minister has supported this and a number of federal ministers about, and I'll paraphrase here, the removal of the seal of confidentiality in the confessional as it with regard to matters of child sexual abuse. Pretty simple question. Do you support that state law has primacy totally over canon law?
And it is a simple question, but it's also not a simple question. It's actually a complex question overturning many, many hundreds of years of understanding, as it were, in precedent. I understand the point that people are making here, and I understand the recommendations that have come forward. We obviously haven't taken a formal party position on this, and people will have a range of views on that. But I completely and utterly understand why people would, legitimately point to the, you know, the view that the criminal law should take primacy, as it does in most other areas. I'm not sure I could say every other area, but in most other areas, the criminal law would take primacy. So I understand the point that people are making and the Royal Commission made. I should note on the way through on those set of comments that I do welcome the Prime Minister's decision to undertake that national apology.
Hear, hear.
I'd say, David, excuse me, we elect politicians to make the laws. We don't elect bishops, archbishops or popes to make the laws. You've talked about, you know, a sense of history, you know, with the Hamer government, you know, with the Baillieu government, you know, say all these things. I encourage you to look at the history of all religious institutions in this area and their record about standing up against child abuse. That is why I believe, and I think why the community believes, they've had their chance, right? We've let them run their own race. They're part of our community. They need to abide by our laws, not theirs.
Well, I think one thing I always say, and I have people that obviously I associate with right across the political spectrum at community level, many of the people in the churches are actually shocked and, you know, incredibly saddened by what has been exposed. through these processes, beginning with the Victorian Inquiry, but importantly with the Royal Commission. And you think about some of those terribly vulnerable young children. I mean, it's just, it's shocking. You know, some of these cases that have been exposed, I think you can't but really just think, oh my goodness, what evil. And, you know, I'm using a religious word there, but sometimes those old religious words have relevant meaning in this context, and that sort of great evil has been exposed, and I welcome the fact that it's been exposed, and that now we're, and this again began in our period in government, but is continuing now at a state and national level. We're working our way through the challenge of putting in place a better approach.
We're going to have to go, Dave, but I want to ask you, do you have a personal view on this confessional issue?
I do, but I'm not going to share it with you today.
Oh, why not? No one's listening.
Of course, MPs have personal views and they work as part of a team. So we've obviously not taken a position on these matters as yet, on all of these matters. There's been a tranche after tranche of legislation that's dealt with parts of the Royal Commission and the earlier inquiry, and we've thoughtfully and systematically worked our way through all of those parts, and we'll do the same with the rest of it.
Okay. When you do, you know, you have the opportunity to come on this station and talk about it anytime.
I appreciate that greatly.
And just before you do go, we'd also be very interested in hearing more from you about the policies that you'll take to the election towards the end of the year.
State election.
As they relate to our communities in particular.
I look forward to having further discussions.
Fabulous.
Great.
Thank you for your time this morning, David.
Thank you. That was David Davis, the Shadow Minister for Public Transport Planning and Equality. Hopefully we'll have David back again on another occasion. Some interesting comments there.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, CEO and Managing Director of Virgin Australia. You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.